Welcome back to Search the Scriptures. This is Gary Hutchins with the Sunny Slope Church of Christ here in Omaha, Nebraska. Welcome back again, and good to be back with all of our listeners. What a blessing it is to be able to come together each day, get together, open up God's Word, and study and learn and grow thereby spiritually and in our faith, because faith comes by hearing the Word of God. You know, being able to broadcast God's Word over the radio openly without any fear of legal reprisal, it's not that way everywhere in the world. We're extremely blessed to be able to study God's Word openly, teach God's Word openly, and to teach it over the airwaves of radio and television and by means of the internet openly, freely, and again, without any fear of legal reprisal. We need to not take that freedom and blessing for granted, and we need to always long to be in God's Word, because again, that is how we develop our faith and how we grow in our faith. Now, we encourage you to tell everybody you can about the program, Search the Scriptures. Encourage them to listen. And even when they cannot do so at the prescribed times, even though we're on several times a day, Monday through Friday, they can go to our website at churchofchrist.com, churchofchrist.com. Click on the podcast button and sign up for our podcasting. It's free. It always will be free. And when they do that, and you can take advantage of this yourself, you can you will always receive to your smartphone or computer or whatever smart device you choose, Search the Scriptures. It'll be there every day, Monday through Friday, plus a whole lot of other daily Bible teaching. And you can download it and then listen to it at your convenience. So tell everybody you can about the program and take advantage of our website yourself as well. We're going to get back into our line of thought and study. And kind of the broader theme, or, you know, the kind of umbrella theme, if you want to think of it that way, of what we're studying is heart troubles. And we're not talking about physical heart troubles. We've said many times that's not what our focus is. We're talking about problems of the heart from a spiritual perspective. So we've already looked at a number of those, such as anger, hatred, laziness, worry, and so on. And in this particular section of our study, we're talking about pride and arrogance. Now, when you attach that word arrogance to it, we're obviously not talking about a good, godly kind of pride, but we're talking about an ungodly pride, one that's always calling attention to yourself, always talking about how great you are, how much you've achieved, look at me, how good-looking I am, how strong I am, you know, and on and on and on and on and on. Well, and again, that's common for a whole lot of people, and we need to be careful that we don't slip into that mold ourselves. We've talked about the fact that there are two kinds of pride. One is godly pride, and that would be along the line of, I want to do my job well, responsibly. I want to work for a living. I want to conduct myself in a godly manner, in a respectable manner. I want to take care of my family, and things along this line. This kind of pride, an individual has a good, healthy self-image, but it's not a self-image of arrogance and self-glorification. That's ungodly pride. And we'll use the word arrogance in connection with ungodly pride repeatedly through this particular study. Now, ungodly pride, a couple of other synonyms. How about haughtiness and conceit? They're basically all talking about the same thing. And a person who exhibits ungodly pride typically acts rather high and mighty. Now, they might say, oh, no, I don't. I'm humble. And they may even brag about how humble they are. But even in their bragging about their humility, they're exercising arrogance and ungodly pride. And people who have this problem, they don't realize how they actually appear to others and affect others around them. They may think they've got this big circle of friends, when probably, if they have much in the way of close friends at all, it's probably just a very few, because nobody wants to be around somebody who's always bragging about themselves, whose favorite subject to talk about is themselves. And so they need to open their eyes. They need to come to grips with the reality of their ungodly pride. And ungodly pride, well, many people who exhibit it are unaware of their problem. They think they're humble. They think they're just normal. But all the time, their arrogant behavior is affecting the people around them in a negative way. Because again, people don't want to be around somebody who's always calling attention to themselves, who's always talking about how great they are, what wonderful achievements they have achieved, and on and on and on. Self-glorification. A more technical term is self-aggrandizement. Well, that's ungodly. And because the person who exercises that kind of ungodly pride is glorifying themselves all the time, they're actually taking glory away from God. And that's the sin. That's the sin at the base of their ungodly pride. Now, again, the Apostle Paul, he told Timothy, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 12. Now, Paul is not telling Timothy, look down upon yourself. Don't have any feeling of self-worth. Don't have any self-esteem. Again, as we put it, don't feel like chewing gum on the sole of somebody else's foot. No, he's not telling Timothy that. He's telling Timothy, you stand firm in your position as a gospel preacher, doing the work of God, but you're bringing the glory to God. And so you make sure that you're a good, godly example to the people around you in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. You live the life of Christianity. As we put it toward the close of our time together yesterday, we talked about how Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, that true followers of Him, of Christ as our Savior, and thereby of God, we are to be seasoning salt. We're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Now that means what is salt for again? Seasons things, makes things better. And so we're to be a seasoning influence for good, for godliness upon the people around us. And then he went on in the next verse and said, you're the light of the world. Well, what does a light do? It illuminates. It guides the way. It shows the way. And what way is it that we're supposed to, as we become that light for people around us, what are we supposed to be showing them? God, Jesus Christ, their Lord and Savior, the gospel, message of forgiveness and salvation through Christ, Christianity. We're supposed to be showing them the best way that life can be lived, and that is through a life of Christianity. That's what our example ought to be to people around us. And in verse 16, Jesus went on and said, let your light so shine before men that others may see your good works, but now not to your self-glorification, that others may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. So we need to live that exemplary life to bring glory to God through our lifestyle and also to lead others to give glory to God. Again, through the good, steady, faithful, godly, Christian example that we live by, that we exhibit in our lives on a daily basis. So the Apostle Paul also talked about how we need to glorify God in our body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. In fact, he said, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Now, we need to really stop and think about how, and Jesus talks about how in John chapter 14, verse 23, how as we walk by in faithful obedience his commandments, that somehow He and the Father come and abide with us, you know, live within us. Not exactly how that happens, he doesn't say, but that their presence is there with us. Well, we need to let people see the presence of God with us through the way we live our lives. And again, not to draw attention to ourselves, but to draw attention to and glorify God. Christians are to be humble in their self-perception, realizing that but by God's grace, we would be lost in our sins as well. Luke chapter 18 and verse 13. So godly pride is a positive. It's something we ought to strive for, and it's something that we ought to exemplify to the people around us, not to our glory, not to our puffing up and to be arrogant, but rather to bring glory to God. Christians are to live in such a way as to be purposeful examples of godliness and Christianity before the people among whom they live and work, the people around them, including their families. And Christianity, if people live true Christianity consistently, it's like a rising tide that elevates all ships when you think about it from the physical perspective of being in the ocean. But Christianity will be like that rising tide that lifts the character of humanity from a spiritual perspective, because it is the best way, the purest way to live life on this earth. Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16, we talked about that. But the Apostle Paul also, he spoke to this very principle in Philippians chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16. And so I want to read that to you. Again, it's basically parallel to what Jesus instructed in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. So the Apostle Paul wrote, "That you may become blameless and harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain." So Paul says, just as Jesus said, Jesus used the illustrations of seasoning salt and shining light, and Paul says, you need to live a life that identifies purity as Christians, that identifies blamelessness and harmlessness, sinlessness, forgiveness, redemption before the people around you. Because this world, he describes this world and humanity therein as a crooked and perverse generation. But he said, you need to live the life as shining lights of Christianity, of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, of God the Father. And how do you do that? He says, holding fast the word of life. Now, what does it mean to hold fast the word of life? Well, obviously, the word of life, he's talking about God's word. And so how do we hold fast that? We live by that word. We follow those teachings, those commandments, those instructions, those guidelines. That is our guidebook for life. And people need to see that guidebook put into action in the way that we live on a daily basis. An elder within the Lord's church is to have a good testimony among those who are outside. 1 Timothy 3 and verse 7. Those outside mean those who are outside of the church, those who are outside of Christ, those who have not yet been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. One who is to become a leader within a congregation of the Lord's church doesn't need to just look good to the members of that congregation. He needs to live a life of godliness before the people outside the church, even before atheists, if there are some of those in his life. An elder needs to have a good reputation inside and outside the church. Now, of course, the aim, again, is not to bring glory to himself. That should not be the aim for any Christian trying to live a faithful Christian life. The glory goes to God. And through his glory, his godly example as a Christian, every Christian needs to bring glory to God. Again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. In other words, glorify God. Matthew 5 and verse 16. The Apostle Peter makes the same application. He says, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Who are the Gentiles? In the world of that day, the Gentiles were those people who did not even believe in God. They were idol worshipers. And almost everybody in the world in the day when the New Testament was written down, almost 2,000 years ago, almost everybody were idol worshipers. They were Gentiles. They were, and the word Gentile identifies people who were not Jews, but they also identified people who were unbelievers. And so Peter writes here again, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, those who don't even believe in God. Now, make the application to our day and age. Those who are not Christians, those who are not living the Christian life, they may believe in God, they may believe in Jesus, but they're not living the Christian life. So we need to make sure that our conduct is honorable among all mankind, including the unbelievers, the disobedient, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God. You see, and that's 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 12. You see, people who are living ungodly lives, who are living sinful lives on a consistent basis, a lot of times they feel somewhat intimidated being around somebody who is living a godly life, who is living a faithful, dedicated life as a Christian. And so they'll criticize that person. They'll try to find fault. But if the dedicated, faithful Christian just stays dedicated, just stays faithful and obedient, eventually that example will shut the mouth of the critics who are looking down upon him. Yeah. And so the Apostle Paul wrote this, none of us lives to himself, and no one dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. Therefore, whether we live or die, we are the Lord's. Romans 14, verses 7 and 8. A Christian should live a life of honor in order to honor God, not looking for the honor to be given to himself primarily, but the honor goes to God. In living a life of righteousness, a Christian demonstrates the righteousness of God, as does a life of goodness radiates the goodness of God. A Christian who exemplifies godly love, he gets that from living the godly life before the Creator of the universe who loved him first. We love God because God loved us first. And in fact, the Apostle John writes two or three times in his first letter, 1 John, God is love. We understand love because of the love of God. We experience love. We feel love because of the love of God. And without God, where would love be? Would there be any love? Without God, there's no goodness, basic goodness. And without God, there is no righteousness. As a Christian, we need to radiate the love of God. We need to radiate the goodness of God. We need to radiate the righteousness of God through the way we live our lives to God's glory. Now that is godly pride. We're trying to live the life that God wants us to live, that God created us to live, having created us in his image, with a soul, with a spiritual being within our physical bodies, a soul that goes on forever. In our culture, in our country, and I think this is pretty common among humanity in general, around the world, we have people who are on open display, so to speak. Now, some of those are professional athletes or amateur athletes, or some of those are entertainers performing before the public on an ongoing basis. It might be singers, might be musicians, it might be actors and actresses. And ultimately, those individuals, they're going to be, when they do a good job, at least in the minds of people who are watching, they're going to be praised. They're going to be glorified. But if their primary desire is for that glory for themselves, then they ought to give up their practice and go back to the drawing board and stop and think, what am I here for? What am I here for? An athlete who is constantly pointing to his own chest as though he did something great, as though he is something great, his physical abilities, his athletic prowess, they're blessings from God. And he needs to always, first and foremost, give God the glory. We need to stop and think. We need to recognize that whatever good we are is a blessing from God. And it is not an achievement, an accomplishment of our own doing. God created us with the ability to be good because he created us in his image. We'll start looking at ungodly pride next time in a deeper way. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you are the creator. You are the heavenly Father, our heavenly Father. You are absolute goodness and righteousness and love. Thank you for blessing us to be able to experience and exhibit those high qualities in our lives because of your being the example, your being the source, the standard of those qualities for us. Help us to help people see your goodness and your righteousness and your love through the way we live our lives. To your glory, Father. Please forgive us and hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.